Second, the name of Magdalena.
Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Thank you very much, members. As Magdalena, in the absence of any other nominations, we are the acting chairperson, and the acting chairperson performs the functions and exercise the powers of the chairperson. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues, and thank you very much for trusting me in this short responsibility. We've got one item agenda today that we'll be dealing with. That is the briefing by the MCC, which is now Southbound Road, on the cannabis guidelines. You recall that the last time we met with the MCC, the board was still going to meet and adopt the guidelines towards the end of September. So what we then agreed is that as soon as the guidelines have been adopted, MCC would have to come back just to take us through the final guidelines that have been adopted by MCC, and then with the intention of then making sure that we then take the process towards its final conclusion. Without the waste of time, let's just introduce through the election process and Magdalena. And the team secretary, she's already introduced herself as a leader. And then we'll quickly ask members to introduce themselves. Before I do that, we've got the staff who's there, which is our researcher, Olindo Busengumane, who's our content advisor, Umbali, who's the assistant committee secretary. It's the staff that is providing the support in the committee. And then without waste of time, we'll then ask other members to just quickly introduce themselves and then start playing with start our business.
Morning, everyone. My name is Maswazi Mashaka. I'm a member of the board.
Morning. My name is Thomas Mapama. I'm a member of the board.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nontan Kanyuri Zafam. I'm a member of the college. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bule Lunkomba, member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Helen Singh, member of the National Assembly.
Good morning, Chair. Mr. Kiran Singh, Minister of Agriculture as well.
Thanks very much. Can we then hand over to the officials of MCC and the department officials are present here just to quickly introduce themselves?
Good morning, Chair. My name is Frederick Villeva. I'm an official from the Department of Agriculture and Food.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. Shabir Benu, current member of the Medicine Control Council, which is certainly HHC, as well as a newly appointed member of the SAFRA board. And I'm also currently the chair of the Scheduling Committee of the Institute.
Morning, members. My name is Jonas Kasa, Minister of Health.
No, thanks very much. We will then ask anybody who has not introduced or introduced himself to then introduce herself by himself.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tor Wynn.
From which institution or your just individual?
Can you all hear me or do you need to use the mic? Colin Young, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
No, thanks very much. Colleagues will then come to the item on the agenda, which is then presentation by MCC, the Medicines Control Council, on progress that has been made thus far in relation to the guidelines, as it was agreed upon in the last meeting. Over to you, Paul.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Prestigious members of the Corporate Committee. In the last meeting, we traversed the road where we looked at the guideline document, where it was, what happened, and then the only preliminary that was left in the last meeting was that it was going to be debated by the Council and then adopted and then published onto the website. So today we just have to fill up that gap, move away from there and see where we are from today. So we will be looking at the active of analysis of myself and that document, but in reality we'll be touching on the guideline document and then the route we travel. Just as a work introduction, the medical examination is there, 2014. When was the published, it provided for the legalizing the use of cannabinoids for medicinal purposes. The legalizing commercial and industrial use of cannabis, allowing innovation in medical treatment, medical practitioners may depart from existing evidence-based treatments where patients are normalized deriving benefits. I think that's what our opinion is important. And to prevent reckless, illogical, and unreasonable departure from standard practices, regulating the use of cannabis for medicinal and research purposes, and limiting cannabis for commercial and industrial purposes. This bill is what hit the whole thing. And then now, when you look at the bill and you look at the provisions of the medicine that you're trying to match them up to match to see where the gap is of the same level left. On the aspect of the innovation in medical treatment, which is rooted in the bill, what the Medicines and Research Practices Act is saying right now, there is a provision for conducting clinical trials. When you look at Regulation 30, it says any person desiring to initiate or conduct a clinical trial shall apply for an application form obtainable from the Chief Executive Officer to the authority or authorization to conduct that clinical trial. Just on this one, here that we have a CEO, Chief Executive Officer, the authority, because we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that now the amended Act of 2015 is already being in force. So whatever, whenever we're talking about the CEO, it will refer to the result, whatever to about the authority, it will be the entity. So, because when you talk about innovation, you're talking about going into untapped water, and doctors have to be given that possibility to do this. That's why this particular innovation is there. And that addresses the innovation in the medical treatment of the organ. When you look at the second date of the second major concern of the bill, which is the legalizing the use of cannabinoids for medicinal purposes. This also is being addressed by Section 21 of the Medicines Act, where it states the authority may authorize any person to sell during a specified period to any specified person by distributing a specified quantity of any particular medicine which is not resistant. It talks about any specified person of the institution, which means doctors who are capable of having that particular medicine. They can apply to the authority for access of that medicine which is not registered. So when you look at the most of the cannabinoids, they are unregistered medicine. But there is a need by people to use them, and that's the only way to access. And this aspect is threatened also by Regulation 29, which also tries to threaten to say what is it that Section 21 means. Because when you look at 29, Regulation 29, you know, subject to the provision of the information requirements and conditions obtained by the authority, a person designed to sell an unregistered medicine, those cannabinoids, which are subject to the legislation in terms of Section 14. So Section 14 is prohibit the sale of an unregistered medicine. And for purposes other than clinical trials, shall apply to the authority an application obtained from the CEO for authorization in terms of Section 21 of the actual sale of the medicine. What we try to address the number, yes, you take cognizance of the fact now. The medicines are not registered. This particular medicines are not registered. But you can use them. And then the doctor who contains them can have access to the human being to his or her patient. That's why the two sections are made. And when you look at the first two, the innovation and the legalizing, those are the cornerstone of the medical innovation here. And when you go to the third aspect, when you think about the legalizing, commercial, and industrial use of cannabis, here you have to make a distinction what it is that we mean now. We've got cannabis, but there are different varieties. And if one of the members recalled from the Director General's comment, where she was talking about some of the byproducts of this cannabis, for other varieties, the jewel, fiber, all of that sort of thing. And this is where now hemp has been put the variety of cannabis. Now, with hemp, what actually happened was that now, in 1999, there was a collaboration between Department of Agriculture, Health, and the police to look at hemp. Because at that time, hemp was still regarded as cannabis. And cannabis is considered equal hemp. But now, literature research, it was found out that there are some benefits from hemp. But now, the question was, how do we ensure and put people's mind at rest that now we are not dealing with cannabis and they wanted to see if hemp can hemp be grown in South Africa. But it was proven that now, when it comes to hemp, different localities can have effect on the hemp output. Some of the fibers might be strong, others might be weak, and others. So they want that to be done on the papers of doing the study. The study ran between 1999 and 2016. And the outcome of the study for that now is not established by the THC level, which is the psychoactive component of cannabis, as the one which makes people have, was less than 0.1%. And having done that, ARC, Academic Research Council, also developed two genetically modified seeds suitable to be grown in country. And these two seeds are in the process of being registered and then made available to the public. And the outcome of the third major one was that agriculture, kind of agriculture, is such to develop guidelines on growing hemp. But now one of the ways of doing it is to declare hemp an agricultural product. So it comes out of the whole equation of the business and business aspect. So it will be, but if you have your guidelines how to grow so that people will consume the hemp and the cannabis, this will be but during the process, scientists have shown that from hemp you can still get cannabis oil, which is one of the components of hemp, but which is not psychoactive. And the recommendation is that now, if hemp is going to be grown for medicinal purposes, we have to follow the guidelines which we have touched it. But now, it is not looking at the agricultural outcome, it's looking at the pharmaceutical outcome. So that's where we are now with the hemp and the protein. Looking at it again, one can see now we sort of try to address the legalization of the commercialization and natural usage of cannabis, which is everything our hemp. Going further, because now I just said now there's been development. When I said now, when you look at the scheduling of cannabis in the whole plant or any portion of product level, except when it's inside in other schedules, meaning that in other schedules it can be used as for medicinal, for each medicinal component. And normally, this was a special thing. And then, but when you look at the plan, that's why there's a lot of confusion set up right now. Hemp, as a cannabis, contains a lot of byproducts. What would happen? And this part, kind of to rule everything, which I'll touch on a bit later, to see what and then the second searching to this is processed hemp fiber containing less than 0.1% of THC, which strengthens that now hemp is being exempted from scheduling 7, so it can still be grown up on the side. And the third one was the processed product made from cannabis containing not more than 10 milligrams per kilogram, which is about 0.1% of THC, and does not contain the whole cannabis. So that's an exception. It can still be taken out of the equation. That's why you find out all these the so-called cannabis products, though they are still untested. But unfortunately, some of the captain in the market and the suspect for it. Now, it brings us back to what I said now in my previous slide, when I said exception is where, when separated the factory shadows, why would apply to the chief thing? But now, Carson looked against the man. When you look at the cannabis plant, it has so many components. You need to look at now the differentiation. Which is the coverage which makes people have the faculty to come in? They identify with the chief thing, the tetrahydro cannabis. And then tell them, what kind of sensitivity is there another component? When the packaging does not find in the CBD, let's say look at it and see what can we make out of it. That's why when NCC Education helped in July, it resolved that CBD or cannabidiol should be scheduled as an export, not to be confused with the export. But nevertheless, having it doesn't make it not any part of the medicinal use. It's set up as a control between as well as it are different. The submission was made to the minister and it was signed on the 24th of the 10th, 2017. And then the government is due to be published by Friday. So according to the Twitter, to be published for the Friday on Friday. And when you look at it, from that, there are two types of effects from that language to what is the as a shape of form. It's a shape of form, and then the preamble, which is shape of form, the A paragraph says now, all substances present in this schedule are excluded when specifically tax labels sold and used for. Industrial businesses, including the manufacture of the mining of consumer items or products which have no pharmacological action of the snap paper. That's the preamble to the education. But the script for cannabinol is that now, if cannabinol is a serial form when intended for therapeutic purposes. If not, then the fallback is serial 7. Then you have to be, and the serial 7 is a banned substance. That would go back to that. And now, what happens to the scale of presence of them? This is addressed in section 22A91A, where it says that no person shall acquire, use, possess, manufacture, or supply any scale of presence or scale of substance or manufacture any specified schedule 5 or schedule 6 thousand unless he has been issued with the clarified the Director General for such acquisition, use, possession, manufacture or supply. So meaning that now all CBD non-medicinal it will resort back to 7. But don't forget that preamble which says if it was going to be used for the manufacture of non-pharmaceutical equipment. I think maybe there might be, people might think it's a contradiction, it's not contradiction per se. But when you think it, so what it says to you is that when you manufacture to be shape of form, it doesn't matter where you put it, you don't use it as a manufacturing form as a shape of form. But the main change with shape of form and to the, I mean, the government saying to the, I'm just using this as an example, when you change for the single picture, then now it gets exempted from that special form. But, let me say that, even though I get my CBD just lying, somebody is using it for just, not for any other purposes, which I look for, and it is not back to special 7, and it's even pending. And I'm saying that it's not contradiction. I just wanted to explain that concept. And provided the DG may, subject to such conditions, as he or she may determine a fire or authorization of the 7 or 8 in order to provide the self practitioner analysis, professor, there may be a feedback position for the treatment of the relation of the preparation in a particular patient of the focal fat. This also emphasizes that now, even though the substance can be developed to the product, but because of the need from the doctor to best and doctor for the treatment of a particular illness, it is in that aspect. And then this therefore this is production section 21. We are going to obtain the section 21 for programs. So there is that scope for people to have it. Know that now because it's in schedule 7, the best option then it's taboo to hold it. Let me say that. This then led down to the guidelines which we believe that now already been brought. And like one of the guidelines has been approved by HRSA and then been implemented. They are currently on our website. And so we see them that following it up. And that guidance together with the application form also on the website for people to send out exercise in that context. And the main purpose of the guidelines. It was to provide for the minimum operating procedure relating to the cultivation of cannabis and the manufacture of cannabis-related pharmaceutical products. Those are the main things. And to regulate the availability of quality cannabis for the plant purposes. Because, like I said, the training has been there, but it was not that apparent before. That's why we need to look at that and say now, this is the framework, this is how you're going to do it now. Rather than just people wanted to use any form or just any means of acquiring the substance, we have to standardize the one way of really standardizing the process and how do you go about doing it. And as I need to in the previous briefing, just want to the requirements. I mean, the purpose is to ensure that the quality of the cannabis pool is consistent. You don't just get one harvest with the high THC, the next harvest with the low THC, and that also because the amount or the ratio of the THC and the CBD has an effect on the particular condition. And if you don't believe that ratio, you might not. Now, that's the reason why we are looking at it now. This is what we want to do with the requirements of the carrier. The consistency in growing condition to ensure that now this minimum best to best variation. Because we don't want to have also the agree and we spoke about agricultural good practices, AGP, where agriculture will advise us on the type of pesticides to be used, on the type of fertilizers to be used, how much water is going to be used, and that all things. Those are some of the things we are trying to do. Also, looking at the requirements, is also one of the requirements will be the security, our security. We have to ensure that now the product doesn't pop into the wrong hand and gets controlled from point A up to the person, the engineer of the product. And also, like we said, so the collaboration, the hands of the collaboration between health, agriculture, and the police. Even here, the police are still. Who are the ones who also assist the process in the security and then the clearance to ensure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands with the cannabis which are growing. The application forms were developed in terms of section 22C from the DD, which says an application. In the any person may apply for for reading and on the prescribed form. And I have to just send the prescribed manner and the computer of prescribing issue to an inspector of the necessary civil substances. But now, as I said, the cannabis will be a civil substance. Whether it is sudden, I'm saying whether it is scheduled six for example, or whether it is scheduled four. It's a scheduled substance. Upon that condition, as to after to request assurance to support a good military and to support the council of authority. Yes. So that's the application form, and I have that on our website. It gives you all the, and not much different from the one which we saw the last time we were discussing. And also the purpose of this meeting too to be also help you appreciate the growing of the cultivation of cannabis, which also has to do with the extraction. People are going to do the testing or the extraction to the manufacturing of the cannabis. Cannabis brings or cannabinoids. The manufacturing of the cannabis containing medicine, if you now we are going to take that resin or the oil or any cannabinoid into whether the capsule form or the injectable form or whatever. But specifically interesting lesson. People who be involved in the importation of cannabis containing medicine. People will be involved in the exportation of cannabis containing medicine and the distribution of cannabis. That's the purpose of that page 231, to cover all the aspects from growing to legal license. And even though they're not going to do the extraction, we'll give it to the second person to do the extraction. That person will need a license for doing that. And then if the third person is going to do a pharmaceutical product, then that person also needs a license. And this one goes now for export. And not done by any of the three certificates or any individual, unless it was an entity or a person very professional, outside of A to Z. Then we can check one method, but different activities which will help to it. What is the way forward now that we have all this, you have traveled this road this far? What we intend doing as a company, as SAPRA, as health and others. Who will be evaluating the application? Which one will see the application to the go through or to that form? When will you get it? What's this one? What's going to happen? And for us to be able to do that, we have to engage our co-workers, which means that anytime it can come to us as individuals or as associations, we can sit down and talk about any concerns which might arise out of that application. But let's not forget, this is a journey. And as a journey, we have to start now. Training, I mean, we can learn from millions from practitioners, but there might be obstacles along the way. Health minister now, we have this open door for the to engage with stakeholders where we can assess their consent. We will have to do the inspections and the evaluation of the co-op sites to see that they are compliant. But once we don't do the work in the industry, we'll end up with really a lot of customers product at least. At the moment, we have problems with customers product on the market. So we don't want to add to our work and process. And one of the things I said the seed. There's so many various sources for currencies that are out there in the market. We have to come up with which one. And look at 10 advisors in agriculture. That's why we are in touch with them right now. through EFC, they should control the system so that not everybody can just go to the internet and then set up. But once you start doing that, you're going to have a problem in my hand. So we need to control the system. But everything that they will, we are trying to work out with their team how to, for them to be able to approve that what should have happened, but we are in a process with the engagement. Establishment of the working group between DOH and agriculture is ongoing. We have already started from the hemp days and it's still ongoing. The data police are involved into the field. So now the monthly that collaborative decision-making. We don't want a situation to arise that now, wherever that now, agriculture has approved something else. And then we only find that now we have rejected applications of that. Or the police have rejected because of some other problems. So there will be that collaborative effort between the main stakeholders. Then the BTA team will come on board for the research and ask the other countries, South Africa and the other ones to now, these are the ones, and others will be joining us as a doctor. And then the ongoing review of applications for special listener rules, which, like I said, for when it comes to research, because it's a critical crime, we have to engage other bodies, I think committees from other units, which are interested to research, which would be interested to universities, we will engage them and then go with them and to come up with the, to improve the whole process so that we know where we are going. And with that, we will have a potential.
Thanks very much for the presentation. We'll now open the opportunity for members for clarity, certain questions, comments, and all the other related matters that you might find of interest on the progress that is made as far. So we will bring our the first time.
How much they grow the cannabis and what formula because I think the other thing that you are worrying us is that how are we going to control and so on and so on. But here, the way you have crafted the guidelines, it shows that you have also taken into consideration all those factors. And I also wanted to check with you when you have written on the requirements, as I was reading this bridge, you know, I was thinking whether it's possible that you can have something that will talk to if anybody does not comply in terms of these requirements, there should be penalties of some sort, rather than leaving vague. You know, it must be prescribed to transparency in black and white, so that we guard against those ill-disciplined people. Because at the end of the day, if you don't prescribe it, if you don't write it in black and white, people can take advantage and say, but it's not true. You know, so why do you want to penalize me and so on and so on? But if we are writing it down, you know, people won't take advantage of it. But I also thought that maybe it was going to be very helpful if you were going to lead the kind of parents or whatever. You know, somehow we were talking about them. But for a person like myself, which I don't know all of them, and currently the type that we're talking about, if maybe somehow we can list them, so that they just can be clear on what is it that we're talking about. And I've also heard about the commercialization and industrialization, that Department of Agriculture must take care of that, because we're also wondering, we're also wondering to see, and then have an industrialization and commercialization, then how we're going to deal with it one time. But anyway, I welcome the presentation, and I'm here to now whatever we see. I don't know what my friends say. I think we can support it without any fear now, because the state has addressed what's on the list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also welcome the presentation. It is very clearly articulated, but I still have concern of the capacity to national level for in Japan. We know that firstly we have a huge problem of who very few staff members for the community to look at that time. Now how much more are going to be who's going to police abuse and abuse of this of this opportunity. Also, I think on slide 3, I'll just also think, you know, any person who has an issue, you know, anyone who wants to sell a goal can do that. And then the people who are going to put away all the growers from the school too, that have been growing for many years, with the growers from, I think, and whatever. Mashuban in Manchester, that knows very well the Mahundi, where it's like you think of it, you know, and you can, it's difficult to find because it's grown on the mountain. They only go on their own, no police, police can't go there. See, that's very, that's how difficult it is. That's at the back of my mind, that's the first part. And over the back of my mind, it's the cost to take some thought on the use of data Because I'm not sure whether that means the people that they think the couple that have been fighting for that have been used anyway by anyone as a natural of smoking. I'm not sure whether that court was really the test and the couple were called back to say, look, this was still in process, but people were excited, you know, they got up over, they were all excited with the township, that now it's been moved here. I can tell you, they were so excited. So, we all said, you know, how are we going to make sure that this now, this is protected, and including the growers that have been growing, how are we going to differentiate it? It's not only in the school and the data in the township, and even the internal that they expected it is actually specifically new.
I don't mind the title, Doctor. He can take my surname. I'm working for the doctor, so we can exchange. thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation to Mr. Modello and Prof. Pano. I'm really feeling on high today, not because I consumed any substance, but because when I look up, I can see the end of Dr. Al-Mursin overpowering us and having a hand in all of this. And I think on behalf of our colleague, that we want to thank our colleague, Dr. Al-Mursini, for having introduced this bill, which has given rise to so much of discussion by the department, by the MCC, by the public at large, looking at the number of submissions, and for it to come to the point that we are discussing now. So I think we've made tremendous strides. And I want to thank the colleague for the support as well. But I just want to pick up on what my colleague said on the question of non-compliance, just as a first point. And I don't know whether sanctions with regard to non-compliance can be something that regulations would contain, or it must be enshrined in the Act. So maybe we can get some advice on that, whether you need an Act amendments to the current Act to include the sanction aspect, or the regulation can take care of the sanction. The first point. But secondly, Chairperson, I appreciate the way the presentation has been made, looking at what the Innovation Bill's intention was and how current legislation with the regulation will take care of those various aspects. For example, you start with innovation and medical treatment. But in all of this, I still want to know whether or not there will not be a need for amendments to the current legislation in some form or the other so that the regulation can be given effect. Or do we just say that the current legislation is sufficient to allow for these regulations to emerge by the implementing agent and for us to apply them whatever we want to do? So that would be my general question. If I just go through the slides, Chairperson, in terms of the slide, I only found the numbers now, just about 2030. Slide 3, the conduct of clinical trials with human animals, the regulation that I just want to know if you can just explain us the process, how difficult is it, what are the time frames that are involved if one has to apply, how difficult is the process, and do you have the capacity now within SAPRA or the old MCC to deal with this, these applications that is expeditious. And then going to the slide number 5, I see this form is already published and we read through for that. They did mention of a fee. Has any thought been given to a fee, prescribed a fee for application? Because I think the intention here too as well, when my colleague talks about the people from the Sotho and let's talk about those from Eastern Cape and other areas. I think there's probably an opportunity. trial started in 1920, 17 years ago, and we haven't really made much substantive progress. And I think we need to somehow come up with a time frame to say by a certain date, this will be allowed, this is a variety of hemp that can be grown, because like I said, the last time we're importing millions of grams of this product, when we can grow it here, create jobs, and here's an opportunity for the small growers, because of the variety that they'll be growing, and the security won't be as tight as the others. And I'm just going to understand, Jefferson, the reschedule. I know you've got a 6 to a 4, now a 7 to a 6. You go from a 7 to a 6 in certain instances. Just explain that again to me, the particularly the 7 to a 6, because possession is illegal. Now, are you going to reschedule from, because you are head of the rescheduling committee, are you going to reschedule from 7 to 6 for medicinal purposes, etc.? How will that work practically? How will that work? Then the section 21 on page 9, application, processing time, because we received complaints from a number of practitioners about the lengthy delays. I mean, Advocate Mitchell was telling me here, for Dr. Ambrosini, he managed to get permission into less than 24 hours for a product to be imported from the States. But for the ordinary South African, ordinary medical practitioner who needs to use section 21, how difficult is it? And I think we had examples before where we called somebody in the MCC and they said, we recorded that conversation. And it was going to be quite a process for that application to be even considered. So how are you going to expedite the process for section 21 application? My other question was related to the export purposes. Now I see you've got here in one of the slides that you could export exportation of cannabis containing medicines. Now the question that arises from there, if somebody grows raw cannabis that's prescribed under Section 21, can it be exported to any other country that requires cannabis? It might be cheaper for them to be the country that already allowed the cannabis. So is there a market for that? And then I think finally, Chairperson, is, in all of this, from what the department and the MCC are saying, is the MIB as tabled now a redundant mechanism to achieve the objectives that were contained in the MIB for use of cannabis for medicinal purposes, use of cannabis for industrial purposes? Do you think, and can you categorically say to us that yes, the MIB requirements and objectives have now been overtaken by these regulations and any amendment to the legislation that you prescribe? And then we can take it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. The sine qua non of medicine is to preserve life. And here we are dealing with medicine to preserve life, not to harm life or harm medication. And we are happy now that there are no obstacles to making this medicine, which may preserve life available without unnecessarily long to process of acquirement. And that is what we compromise all about. And of course, we rather fall on the side of righteousness than find ourselves on the wrong side of what medicine is all about. So we accept what the department has done and removing obstacles, and as well as controlling what could otherwise be an open society for those who have ulterior motives and who will eventually end up under about with some bottles of snake, anti-snake venom running around that it cures everything, and this is not a cure-all type of medicine. But also the fact that we are all here understanding what is at stake here and what. But I just wanted to ask one question here about him. I don't know, there are no cases here. I will count them, but they are not numbered. Or inside painful. And the authorities may in writing authorize any vendor to sell during a specific period a specific quantity of any particular medicine which is not registered. It's commonly decided. Well, in my mind, I understand, but I don't comprehend what it actually means that the authority will be writing, authorize any person to sell during a specific period, maybe 1 day or some 1 month or during the growing season or what, or an institution, specific quantities, a gram, 10 milligrams, 100 pounds of any particular medicine which is not registered. We were talking about cannabis. So if does this include even cocaine or whatever? Because if it's not specified and it's just any medicine, I can apply for on cocaine, for example, if the growing season, I want to have it for my healing. So please explain. Thank you.
People who were formerly convicted of growing cannabis be allowed a license under the new policy after applying. My second question, Chair, which criteria are you going to use in order to determine whether the application is successful or not? I submit, Chair.
The other thing that I said for question is the education of the community, because the country knows exactly what many parents do. How and when is that going to happen?
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. I'll then hand over back to MCC. For them to respond to the whole large number of many questions that has been raised by the members.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think these going back questions that we get expected, and I think the thinking has been that there's been opportunities in the past in which many of these have been addressed. And that we thought the presentation itself was really just intended to address the questions that have been raised, but we more than happy to address these issues. I think given Mr. Malewa's role as the head of law enforcement and inspection, and that many of the questions were in fact relating to sanctions, the need for compliance and a framework for how compliance will be ensured. And I think Mr. Molina is probably the right person to do. And I think given his role on the operational level, I think it would be important for us to see how the inspector actually functions on the ground as well. There are several other questions related to scheduling and to how the 1331
framework works, which I would threaten and then ask the privilege to set the scene in terms of the
at least it's heartening to hear some of the positive, you know, feedback which we are getting today. It's true that now we are at least on the right direction. And like I said, I mean, this is a journey, and the journey, the road is not tarred it's with talent and there will be certain feelings which are building up, which will have partial and of this, but I'm glad that we are with it. When it comes to issues of penalties, let's not forget now the act and this framework was in terms of the main act, the business and the related process act. And in that, there are provisions for penalties for certain sections. I will take now, for instance, the penalty any person who does the center of it. But now, the question is now, which section would you be breaking? When applying for a license to go to manufacture, to extract, export, import, you'll be doing that in terms of section 22. And any person who takes up those activities without a license will be contravening 22. And then we go to the government, which is the penalty is a fine or a year term or both. Yes, I mean, you might say the fine, and let's say the term of the fine is about 10,000 rand for an operation about 3 million rand. But at least it's a step in the right direction, because now there is a mark against that person, and then this person is put up in this act with a criminal record. So that would add up later in that it would do something against criminal, which would set a criminal process. So there is one section, section 21. Same thing is what the contravention, total contravention, section 21, you will be a process. If it was you import, schedule 5, the first schedule 5 of schedule 6, substances without the detergent, that's a problem. The contravention that you have, you will be done according to the business. So we have sort of, when you know the thing, we sort of align it to certain sections of the act, so that it gives us that comfort to say now, yes, you are bringing the thing, will come after you, and then you will get it. But whenever we do such operations, we are not working in isolation. We look at other institutions. We look at the colleagues who are going to the cleanup of the act. The same contravent. We look at drugs and drug trafficking and that same contravent. And then we go to class, income tax act. And I mean, there's a whole plethora of acts which we add on onto this thing. That's why when you look at the isolation, you look at the basic tax, you say, wow, 10,000 times over second to it. But now, class will come in. As a professional, will come in. So we will contact them to get traffic and then there will be that repercussion. So when it comes to penalties, we are sort of covered. So it's not as a moon, there is other hand to look at. And there was a question again on the other comment on the list of varieties, which I'm grateful and made note of it. And this is something, like I said, now we're working closely with agriculture. And the seed bank. As we progress, we will be looking at the seed now, which seeds are suitable, and we will be doing our research also to find out which seeds should be used. And then we publish a research around these are the authorized to be used in South Africa and nothing else. Because at the moment we are still trying to find drugs and the ones which have been perfected, like I said, is the hemp one. But when it comes to the cannabis, the things are now. We just have now we're following the same route and then see if we don't get to it. Then education to the community. Our approach at the moment, because we know it's a real mindset, okay. Our approach at the moment is that now, what are you in the Islam? Let's start off small and see what the outcome is. And once we start looking at seeing that now there is that wide interest, we will try to go to the community. Like what we normally do with other issues. I mean, maybe other than we have to educate people about illness, we still go out to the community. Either to get a new patient or get the community to evolve and then set up to it, we'll do it. But we just need to find our way first and then see how big the problem is. And then once you analyze the problem, then we come up with the solution and how do we go about doing it. But for now, to just go in into the plant, there's nothing to get, which will be quite a disaster, and then the whole thing might come back onto us. And that's why we try to test that. And there was another one. Yes, for the fees. And then the destruction, yes. Fortunately, at the moment, we are at the crossroads. We are busy trying to look at the whole dispatcher for everything, digital structure. So we haven't looked at this one, but for the GMP certificate, it's something else where people are going to do the extraction and manufacturing at a different thing. But for growers, they are looking at it and see now, how can we really put it up there and how much can we do it and how much can we charge? But also, coupled to it will be the question of exporting the quantity to be exported or what type of product to be exported. Also, that will depend on the other country, the important country, whether it's allowed to import the material. And once it's allowed, then we fulfill our obligations. We cannot stop trade between two consenting parties unless it's going to be legal. That's when we will come in and stop it completely. And when it comes to issues of now enforcement, how do you ensure that an animal falls into their own hands? And also the question of people who have been convicted previously. How do we make sure that we are not denying them opportunities? There's a whole lot of issues when we do and when we look at the inspection and we look at the person, the competent, we look at the site itself, we look at the workers, we look at what we call a quality manual system. And that would inform us, yes, if the person has been convicted in connection with the police, we'll do a risk assessment. So now, can we give this person or not? I mean, there are issue instances, I mean, as you mentioned, when you go to the airport, you find this model, which has been outlined. Those facts, the penalty for using those facts are issued by the department in conjunction with the police. Now, for private individuals, we'll do that risk assessment. And then look at it, and then if we find that the risks are outweighed, it's not bigger, then we'll deny that person. But if we find that, well, this person is good, but he was said that he was good at that time, we can look at it and weigh it. So, and then, how do you ensure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands? This is a process where we want to license, where we say no, Even if when you translate the transporter of this goods, somehow there must be a piece of paper with you to transport the goods, which will specify the type of goods from where to where. From this core, how many of them and it's going to this manufacturer. And then in transit situation, even if you come to a roadblock, you still produce that thing. That's what's happening when you look at transporting other high scheduled medicines, like the morphine of this world. Like when you bring the cortisol to extract morphine, which is, I mean, the cortisol is the cortisol plant. You bring it into the country and then you extract it. There is a thing that keeps on changing wealthy. Yes, unfortunately, when it comes to this sort of criminality, it's difficult to have a net tight. There will always be some of those products, but we will endeavor in consultation with the police to ensure that now we are doing that thing. Thank you for my... both the
what you said in the previous discussion as well, was that that is beginning to be. In fact, in the context of Section 21 applications, in the context of both clinical research and non-clinical research applications that are submitted to the NCC currently, we have immediately channeled towards the technical working group, the canvas working group that is currently so deficient technique in a much quicker turnaround time. And as part of a broader framework for why we in fact think SAFRA would provide additional efficiency was that SAFRA's intention is to build in-house capacity to do this full time, rather than to rely on external experts that have day jobs and that are only able to keep some of this time to the and I'm also fully aligned with that process, which is to develop systems that would be dedicated towards key priority areas as well. And as we evolve this framework, this will remain as a key priority. I think that answers the question. Might be a bit vague, but I'd like to say that as part of SAFRA's mandate of reporting to Parliament, there would be an ongoing sort of consideration of human progress around this as well. I think I'm going to go back to my sort of question around Section 21. It's an important one, and I think it's really about reflecting that there has to be a provision in the law that will allow for access to products that have not yet undergone rigorous scrutiny in fashion, but might well have been scrutinized and evaluated elsewhere in the world. And that until that happens in fashion, a provision that will enable access has to be considered. So the way in which Section 21 is implemented in South Africa, as is the case in most other countries, is that it precedes an understanding of what the Section 21 application is about, what is the body of evidence that is currently arranged, who has approved it, what are the safety issues. And on the basis of that, Council, through its technical commission, developed a framework for a conditional approval so that the conditions under which an unregistered medicine has to be used is one of the first considerations. Then it has to be used in the context of adequate oversight and supervision by an experienced clinician or someone that has knowledge of it. Is an important one as well. That if Section 21 is usually used as a mechanism by accessing individual patients that allows for ongoing monitoring of that particular patient and reporting of that particular patient's outcomes to the regulator is important as well. So that's been the intention of Section 21. Section 21 is also the key provision in the Medicines Act that in fact allows for wide access. The possibility of providing access to unregistered medicines in the context of a public health program or in the context of approving the use of an unregistered entity for a clinical research project is also focused on Section 21. So the clinical trial framework that the regulator has evolved is in fact on the basis of the Section 21 provision. Regulation, previously Regulation 34, and more recently now Regulation 30, is in fact based on Section 21. I'm not sure whether I'm jumping ahead by trying to reflect on whether or not the legal innovation for
think really many things that, that it's an evolving process. That what we're thinking is that clearly the focus on addressing the key provision in the regulation. And I think that will certainly move forward. But I'm happy to answer any other questions as well.
No, thanks very much. Well, honourable members will recall that in relation to the capacity, the main reason why we passed the legislation to establish SAPA was to build that in the market, which currently is lacking in the MCC. That's why there is this process of establishing SAPA, we passed that legislation. So that process is evolving. Of making sure that we've got SAPRA being established and limited internal capacity and so that it's able to make sure that it processes expeditiously as possible all the applications and other scheduling that needs approval or whatsoever form, so that that matter is not left on a part-time basis as it is currently. But you have got a full-time agent that is working on a full-time basis of this matter. So from where we were standing, that SAPRA was to address that. And we should give the interstate to evolve, establish, put its own system in place, put its structures in place, start operating on a full-time basis. Then we'll be able to come to Parliament to submit an annual report to present a strategic plan, to be able then to assess the extent to which they are able to meet their obligations and where are the weaknesses and where are the challenges. So on that net, I'm sure we should allow that space to evolve to be able then to make sure that we allow staff to start being put in place and start in a good way on a full-time basis. Currently, we can't say in our MCC in the current form has got that capacity. No, it doesn't. That's why we came up with this process of establishing SAPA. But we've got a body that is then on a full-time basis is focusing on this particular work. I saw for our parents, I want us to move.
I think on the capacity issue was answered me, but in terms of the question where I'm worried is the issue of education. I think the manner in which he answered the issue of education is not satisfactory. Because I think information is out. And there's no chair that will take that as part of educating our people. You'll do it in a small, because we have two challenges. This is an opportunity, that's number one, for our people. Not for outsiders to come to South Africa and get an opportunity. So we don't want our people to be overtaken by the opportunity, by circumstances or by the opportunity being given to our fathers by our home. We want to promote those cooperatives. I don't know, one member was talking about cooperatives giving it opportunities. I think we want to promote that as a developmental state. And South Africans must be the one who benefits out of it. We're not making these opportunities for outsiders to benefit. So in education, the question of education is important so that the people that Honorable Mapana was talking about, who were being arrested when they were growing these things illegally and so on and so on, they must then be educated on this opportunity now. And also with regards to the framework and the formula, the quantity on how they must do it, and the skills, so that they can do it professionally. So, I think you must consider that one, because the first priority and preference is our own people that must benefit from this opportunity. And then, in terms of the penalties also, I hear you that you are saying there are other, whether it's Section 22 or Section 21, who are, you know what I'm thinking? I think we need to also look at, I know you were saying 10,000 maybe for penalty, we're making examples, but I think we need to be more strict, so that you must not take it and introduce a penalty that will be a little like 10,000. You must start by now 400,000 or over 1 million, then on the first story, you are stripped off your license, so that people must comply. We must force our people to comply. Thank you very much. I just wanted to speak on this system. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Chairperson, when we first started intensive discussions on the MIFD and the 80% 2014 September, you know, Section 21 became to me a swear word. Because every time Section 21 was thrown, but we've got Section 21, there's no need for anything else. But I think a lot of water has flown under the bridge since then, because now we, in the last few years, we're really looking at how Section 21 can be implemented in a manner that makes it easier for people to, you know, access medicine that would not normally be able to access. So a lot of water has flown under the bridge, and I don't think it's our intention, as when I say our intention as the promoters of the bill, to have superfluous legislation. I mean, if there's legislation, if there's regulation that meets the current objectives, albeit the fact that we appreciate that it's evolving, it's a new arena that everybody is venturing into, the public and the department, and so on. Then I will take the advice of the committee in that regard, and our legal advisors on how we should proceed. Because it seems to me, and Prof. Bundes also said that as far as the medical innovation bill is concerned, all the objectives are now being catered for in a different format. So we've agreed that we want to go from Cape Town to Durban. I said by car, now you say by plane. As long as we get there, and as long as the public at large can benefit from this innovation, can benefit from using alternative forms of therapeutical medicines that are available, we can have them access these products legally and not, backdoor as is being done now at exorbitant costs and where we don't even know what the products contain, because those could be actually harmful to the individuals. And then we could reach a stage where doctors would freely prescribe with the consent of patients, and we can open up a new arena for medical health in South Africa and compare ourselves with other well-established countries around the world. So I'll take the advice, but I want to thank you, Chair, particularly for the backroom discussion that we've been having between yourself and I and the department on this matter. I think that's greatly helped us to reach this particular point. But I'll take the advice of the committee and the legal advice on how we should proceed.
No, thanks very much. I'll hand over to Mr. C. But just to indicate, colleagues, that the issue of penalties is in terms of the law, the current medicine-related act. It does stipulate, as you are saying, if you point out in this, these are the consequences. If you point out in this, these are the consequences. But there are other additional states that are then brought together. So you will not be able to say what is exactly the sanction. Because you will have to bring in the drug from the act, the criminal procedure act. Or, so there are a lot of legislation that comes into once you've contracted that. That then cannot be determined only by them. It should be determined by the procedure of the court on what sentence then to deserve and what penalties are there. So we should understand in that context.
100 pronouns they are going to educate them on what. Until there's an argument on the type of the seed that is relevant to South Africa, or the standard of agriculture, that needs to be grown in South Africa. Because what is grown in Zambia might not be grown here in South Africa. Because of the soil texture of all other, what is growing the Eastern Cape might not grow in Malawi. You might acquire a different seed altogether. So those are the, that's why you're saying in terms of listing. Once that has been approved by agriculture, they will then go into list which seeds are applicable in the Eastern Cape, which seeds are applicable in Malawi. Then that's when public education comes in. But now if you go and say public education, you will not be knowing what is that they are educating the public. So that they are able, therefore, to use this opportunity to grab it for the purpose of growing our economy and making sure that they can actually learn. I'm sure once that collaborative effort is up, it's not just a matter of health, because the industrial and commercial use will be made into the Department of Health. For example, you can appoint after the joint meeting and then get a conference with the team, including the issue that Honorable Silver is on the timeline. Because this process started in 1999, still going on until now. At some particular point, it can be a trial that goes forever. At some particular point, that trial is to say it's saving or when to start implementing. But it can be a matter that we can give this back. I mean, to clear the room. And maybe at some point we need a joint meeting on agriculture and health and SAPS, and then agree on how this, that part of the commercialization, that's how then to take that discussion there. But for me, since I use the last year responsibility, and that's where our main focus should be for now. Then we have then the second phase of commissioning as well as bringing in other cars or subs and everything else. So at some particular point there must be a progress, a timeline when to start progress. It can be a trial that has soon come to an end. Yeah, all of you. Thank you.
again. One of the questions we'll take with the man, I'll take now again out with the doctrine for Jesus. One of the questions that it should be in a book about carrots. And now when the inspectors come in and they find out now that carrots, you don't have a book about carrots, and you cannot account for the amount of light you get under your control. One, who wrote the letter, which is our children, so don't have it. And then once you've done that, you inform for it, because normally for you, we issue out the narcotic drug. There's no way to make that better, we inform them. Then we inform them, and then we take the drug, we send them back to and depending on the collaboration, this is all maybe you're from your favor or dealing. You're dealing with the person. You can even open up a cleaner key to do so with that. So there are different mechanisms which we need to employ. Like I said, one of the things is the 10,000 day loan, no, we're telling you the fine doesn't depend how much and 10 years of those. The law has this to this, but now when you need to formulate it, let's take an example. You are dealing with a registered cannabis product registered in another country, which can be here, it's unregistered. What? Then you have a question to ask. Number two, you could have been in question 14. And then number three, you are in a property or town. That's from one thing. And then, depending how we trust our good people, and also dependent on the prosecutor, his understanding, his or her level of understanding, and the legislature. The candidate is here. So some of them are feeling in the way where they will see now. And this is more than officers. We make a 30,000. We end up doing that 6 months or 12 months or whatever. So that's how one of the times, this is how we do it. We look at those things. We don't just enough, we don't find the legal letter. But it's very registered. It's easy to the operation. Put in a lot of things, and look at it. And then there will be a subsequent visit into that person to ensure that that person is not operating. And if that person is not operating, that's when I cannot treat. And then now, we go to another scenario, we will start out invoking, like the other chapter, start out invoking other acts. And the process of criminal activity, then, even depending on the amount, which is involved, that's how we look at it. With the graduate education, like I said, we have an open door for the community. We are still trying to assess to see what it is that people. And as people go, we still have that together with now. This way people react to the thing. And then based on that, we said now coming in. You know, when you compare to the organized pharmaceutical world, taking it easy there to deal with the problem, they will come to the association. Individuals, and most of the time, because I know highly individualistic, it's mine, me, that, and then Kobanu will come later, and then the other way around Kobanu, it's that me, that, Rikuti will come later, and then now, create that thing, because you don't know how to structure your, but it should be identified with a mix in a certain community, like I mean, the traditional leader. They indicated that they want to use that. Can't we? Let's talk. They have a continual discussion. Then you discuss issues. And we hopefully by then, we let them put it properly. The division of the mind, even if 100%, that we should do. That's not what I meant when you did that for you.
Okay. Now, thanks very much for this. I'm sure we're done with the presentation. We'll now look at the process towards a
the deal itself now, having received, having done what we've done, the progress that we've made since September 14, 2014, when it was presented to the work that we did thus far, we'll have to take a decision. And I'm sure there's also a bit of here from Parliament, who must then advise us what process we want to see unfolding. Our view was that we need to conclude in this matter today. So that is the remaining to bear about in our table. There's two processes. First is either we give an opportunity to Honorable Singh to then officially withdraw the bill in the House, accompanied by the report itself, that would have been delivered and adopted by the committee. Or we take a route that says, now let the bill go back, take into consideration all the issues that has been undertaken thus far, and therefore come to the conclusion that the desirability of the bill is no more necessary because of the work that has been done thus far to address almost all the issues that the bill was trying to address through this process of regulations, framework and guidelines, and therefore allow the department and SAPRA and CC to roll out the process, then assess the work that they are doing to the extent to which it addresses all the issues that we have agreed upon. So it's up to us which route we want to take under our hands. But I'm not sure what the legal team will soon have. Can you comment on that?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Chair, you've covered the entire process. I can't really add to that except to maybe direct names to the rules, specifically that the acting chair referred to. So the two avenues, correctly so, would be either the member in charge decides to withdraw the bill. In the absence of that, the committee would have to go through a motion of desirability. That is in terms of 286 of the National Assembly. The option to withdraw the bill for the member is in terms of Rule 334 of the National Assembly. That's the motion.
Yeah, there needs to be that because I just want to see what 334 says, because the fact of the matter is that we don't want to be seen to put this thing under the after the amount of work that we did, we don't want to see that. Because I'm not sure what you would remember with the law. You see, it just disappeared. It means when we draw, then we're not going back to the House. Because it doesn't say anything. Besides, the President said that the bill will just be assembled when we draw the thing at any time before the second of the motion is decided. Then ends that. Which means we'll not have an opportunity to say to the public, this is how far we've traversed on the bill. And this is how, these are the work that has done, this is how progress has been made, the achievement that has been done, which was as a result of the introduction of the privacy hospital. Otherwise, if that is not present, we would not have traversed it, we would not have gone with the work that we've taken this far and achieved what we've achieved. So it will just disappear if nothing has been done. But that's my challenge with it. I guess the CA members, whatever I think.
Yeah, no, Chair, I agree with you that we've come too far now, and we've made lots of progress for it to be going to be something that the house must consider. There has to be a report to the house. Whether it means that we have to vote on a motion of desirability for that to happen, which will put me in an awkward position, because I can't vote against my own bill. I do know that in terms of the objects of the bill is certainly desirable to the extent that it meets the objective that you want it. So from that point of view, it's desirable. But it's not desirable in the format of a bill. So I don't know. I look to the wise people around me here who have been around longer than me to see how we maneuver this trade. But it definitely is something that has to come to the house, where all of us from all political parties must have an opportunity to speak to and you know, also speak about the future and the past. And South Africans need to know where we are. But I don't know. Like I say, if we were to vote on desirability, I would take it that the ruling party would say it's not desirable because the department has not, you know, existing now. But I don't know if we have to take that decision now, but I think that my thinking is that we've got to take some kind of decision. But it has to go to the House for the debate with a full report from them. Where, and in the House I could say, well, you know, on the basis of the progress we've made, there's no need for the vote. Whether they need the formal decision there or not, I'm still a bit doubtful.
Yeah, we also get advice from the different team how we must process that to us. We must add our way is that now the matter must go back to the House for it in one form or another. How you then take it there is another part. It must go back to the House. You can't just disappear and make happen. So we need to get an advice on how to process it, because the work that we have done thus far, yes, to the extent it has now rendered complete, not desirable, but the original objectives of the bill, there was some element of desirability. The side of to take the steps that we've taken until such time that we address some of the issues that the problem that is going to work against the institution guidelines framework, which has now subsequently been addressed. So there must be a way of disposing it in that way.
Thank you. Chair, I think that the rules of the committee would then have to be 286 4I, 4R project, and let's start with I, that says the committee after due deliberation, and I think we can all agree there's been due deliberation on this part. The committee must consider a motion of desirability on the subject matter of the bill, and if rejected, must immediately table the bill and its report on the bill. So there's an opportunity for the report to the House. The other J is if the motion is adopted and then a process ensues after that. But what informs desirability can be found in 286 sub 6. They're not going to read the entire sub 6, but the most important part there is an adoption of the motion of desirability related to with the principles of the bill and the need for the bill by itself. So it's not just the purpose, whether the need for the bill at the current time is also accepted. So I think the presentation has demonstrated that they are now with the guidelines, they have processes in place that will deal with the purpose of the bill currently in the current administration. So that's an option, and that will inform the desirability of the bill, or not. Thank you.
You're speaking like a lawyer, not like a politician.
I think that, so the only option for the committee in the absence of the member withdrawing the bill here, because I don't think the member is an option to withdraw the bill in the House, as you said, the rule is silent on that, would be for the committee to go through a motion of desirability. So for the chair to put it to the members to ask, are they in favour of the bill, yes or no, and then for the committee to table the report. And in that report, all of the progress up until now, up until today, can be contained in that report to the committee, to the House, on why the committee has found the bill to be more desirable at this stage. Please. Thank you. I hope that's a good question.
Okay, can I hear members? I got that one.
No,
we are supporting that it must, there must be that process for a different diet. But I thought we will also include an element that indicates that the work that the committee has done in terms of ensuring that guidelines and framework that developed, that then necessitated by the bill itself, which then resulted towards us then arriving at the conclusion that taking into consideration all the work that has been done since the bill was tabled, informed by the purpose and the object of the bill, we've then achieved the following. We then table the achievement that we've made, and based on all these achievements that we've made, then we then come to the conclusion then it then renders the bill at this moment not desirable, or that the only option that is left in the rules is unfortunate. If there was a way of crafting differently in the rules, it was going to do. But I'm sure nobody anticipated that there was a situation where a bill tabled will be hanging in a manner that we did and arrive at the conclusion the rules doesn't provide that. But this non-desirability must be in the positive context, not in the negative context, because currently it is put in the negative context. Which is not desirable, but in a positive context, not in the negative context. This one is not positive.
So That will then lead me to the realization
and the comment of sacrifice to have something that is positive. Yeah. It's taking into consideration all the processes that are there for them. And then the speed will then adopt the report with that in mind. Well, unfortunately, at the end of the day, we're going to talk about but at least that is our ability. That mantra is our ability must be preceded by the positive work and the achievement that has ensued as a result of the intercession. So that anybody reading it must have that understanding in that context. Not in the manner it is described. For 2 years which has been struggling to decide on the disability while we achieve a lot of things that then makes it now much better because all the original objectives and purpose of the thing is now we are going to that. And therefore we must get away of reporting that we have. At the end, we then say it could be wrong, they don't say that, but it should be preceded by the quality of aspect. You got him very tall, the bad part.
Chair, I was certainly working through the section to try to reflect because it's really in the report. This is one question. Is the committee going to hold the motion back until they have the report before you, or is going to proceed with the motion now, and we can simply change the report to take the committee views now.
No, I mean, if there is a need for a motion, we can proceed with the motion, continue the motion, and then look at the report.
If that is that's allowed, I don't think there's a problem. As long as the report is going to come back,
yeah.
Then we look at the report and that. And that positive moment as well.
Okay. Okay, well what then is the motion by the way? What then is the motion?
Yeah, I must apologize. This is not my report, this is draft by the committee secretary. So I suppose that the chair would have to put the ball before the committee, and in light of what we've discussed and what the committee has discussed now, how the report needs to be amended to reflect all the positive work that's been done so far and the achievements that the ball has had, in particular the amendment of guidelines to reflect the purpose of the ball in currently, the ball in its current state. They do not be desired for the attention. I don't want to go into any remarks, but because of what is currently happening so far.
Honorable
Sir.
Yeah,
Chair.
I'm the minority here, and I feel that I have an understanding as well, because I'm not a full member of the committee. But my advice would be, let them put something down in writing. You take 5 minutes for the committee to meet at some time, and consider the report. Speculated and considered. So we all of one mind. Otherwise it's a piecemeal kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's what my let's allow the process and then going past everything and everything that you have got for concrete upon. Because everything that you've said will have to be included in the resolution that we're going to adopt. So it must form a package. So I'm going to adopt it, then we will come the following day and then look at a portion of the report while already we have adopted the motion there. Let's look at the comprehensive. Before it's not going to take long, 10, 15 minutes, set aside the next week before any other process. And then what we then can achieve is that
let the draft be made available and circulated in time, and give opportunities, especially to the sponsor, to make whatsoever comment. And then when the sponsor is comfortable, and then he comes to us, even if it's not there, and we are fine with it, then I don't think there will be a problem. Then we circulate to members in time. Members must read it, satisfy themselves. When you come here, we just adjust that report and nothing else.
Agreed, but there is one thing which I think it may be unfortunate if we put that the deal is no more desirable. And it is, we are rich what we read because of the deal. It might be that it's a deal.
No, it's okay. The rules, that's the problem. I was saying the problem is how the rules have been crafted. The rules never anticipated that there will be a process where will the deal will hang it in anonymity. So it is only that option of desirability and undesirability. That's unfortunate. But I was saying, for you to arrive at that, putting what the rule says, let's proceed that with the work and the positive achievement that we've achieved as a result of the work that we did, as a result of the work that we did, by informed by the deed itself, that its introduction. And then from the base of the work that we've done, and the improvement that has been done through framework, guidelines, and everybody else, therefore, we then come to what the rules require them to say, but in a very positive way. That's what we're trying to say. Unfortunately, there was a media rule, the rules are going to be the rules. Unfortunately, there's no media rules. Okay. You agree on that? Okay. Thanks very much, colleagues, and honorable members, the meeting with the legend. So let's go back to our program today and report back. So I don't come back on the street or James and I forgot that. Yes, we'll bring them to work on the matter, the content advisor, the committee staff, the help must work on this document and make sure that at least by Friday. It's not a long day. Friday should be the document. Yes, we can look and we can meet and look at it and then so I can cover this list tomorrow if you want to read the whole thing. They are all related to the I don't think they can actually change much. Because between now and the end of this of the day, most of you will be free doing nothing. So you can sit down and work on that. The meeting was supposed to finish around 1 o'clock. We still work now until 1. And then from there, especially the legal team will be here. They might be going somewhere. Just meet and agree. And then you name the committee staff. You then take the process forward. You bounce it back to the legal people. And then before the end of the business of the day, you circulate the document. It's not a long document. It's maximum 2 days. Yeah. Then you circulate it to all the parties, and that party so that tomorrow if they want to say anything into your caucus, they get their mandate, then they able to make amendment, they improve the document, and we're fine next week. Thanks very much.